And now, live from the studios of WATR Radio, it's Brass City Beat with Dawn Majorano.
Good morning, Waterbury. Happy Friday. Happy International Women's Day, leading into Women's Month. Love it. Welcome to Brass City Beat with Dawn Majorano. I am Dawn Majorano. You know what, Steve, before I even go into anything, I announced my candidacy 1 year ago today.
Really?
I did. And I really, 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 really wish that I could say, because it was, you know, the lead-in to Women's Month. And it was just because they told me to do it. Right. They were like, you're going today. Okay, all right, I guess I got to write a speech. All right. Anyway, well, welcome to the show from the historic WATR studios, as always. This week with some of my crew, my number one, Steve Peperesnik, Chris Fortier on the board. And while we do not have our resident croc-wearing millennial, Nathan Vieira, I am so honored to have a special in-studio guest. Palace Theater CEO Frank Tavera. Thank you so much. Yay.
Hey.
For being here, Frank.
Thank you.
So if you will allow me 1 minute, I really need to just kind of set up the segment of this show. A few weeks ago, okay, Alderman George Newshame felt the need to post on social media how I'm a horrible person and how I'm just an ordinary average citizen and how he is way more important than I am because I lost mayoral race. He won the alderman race. Okay, don't look at me like that, Steve. I know I'm paraphrasing. And how I mean to him because I call him out for not keeping the taxpaying citizens of Waterbury top of mind in you know, every decision, which is, you know, year after year voting yes to every agenda item that comes up in front of the Board of Aldermen, and how I mean to Mary Grace Cavallo for this, you know, same reasons. But guess what? Do your job. Do what you were voted to do, and I won't call you out. Anyway, so most of the comments under this ridiculous narcissistic post were mostly saying we aren't 12, just stop. Except for a few, one being Andy Michaud. So Andy Michaud comments, and he says that he heard my show too, and I was mean, but whatever. So George responds, thanks, buddy. And Andy kind of takes the opportunity to tell George of his plight to take the palace and its whole organization down. And if he loved the city, and if I loved the city, we would help him, and we should get involved. So while, of course, I respond on numerous platforms, radio, social media, you know, with my opinion that the palace is the only reason that the city doesn't fall into a big giant sinkhole, and that I support everything the palace does, and I truly believe that the city only prospers if the palace prospers. George replies with, thanks, buddy, I'll help you and I'll look into it. So great news for Andy and his crew, which includes, you know, Frankie DeVino, shout out to Frank, one of the original rescuers of the palace back 30 years ago. And look, you have to give credit where credit is due. Governor Roland, Mayors Bergen and Santa Petro, Temporale family. There are so many who brought the palace back to life. And now you have an elected official, an alderman, looking into the numerous issues. But because I don't want any misconceptions, and you know what? I take being, quote unquote, the voice of the people very seriously. I won't believe every word that is said, but like Steve and I say, some things that were brought up, we went, oh, I wonder if that's true. Look, from day one of my political involvement, I have preached transparency. I have deep ties to the palace and the team over there, and we said, let's go to the source. So here we are. Frank, his PR director, Andrea, and let me say, we sat down with them last week. We got schooled. I thought we knew a lot about the palace, but we learned so much more, so much more. So one of the, I don't mean to take away from your thunder, Frank, but one, on the board of directors, one of the biggest takeaways for me was that not only is Mayor Paderewski on it, but the bylaws say that two of the members of the board of directors have to be aldermen, one Republican, one Democrat, mayor's choice. Don't start, Steve. And currently, those aldermen are Sandra Martinez McCarthy and Mary Grace Cavallo. Who's the Republican
representative there?
I softballed through that right to you. Right. So, Andy, you don't only have Alderman Newshame ready to help fight the battle with the board of directors, but you have two other aldermen and the mayor actually on the board of directors. I haven't heard from any of them on any kind of meeting. So the question to you goes back to you. The question that goes back to you is, did they give you the answers that you're looking for? But We know that Alderman Nujame hasn't opened up any big, huge kind of, you know, inquest because he's busy trashing me on Facebook. So with all that being said, thank you for being here, Frank, to talk about the palace. I know you have pillars on which you exist, and we just want to put some of these untruths to rest. So I'm going to kind of turn it over to you, and then, you know, if you want to take questions, we can do that too. So please.
Sure. First of all, it's great to be here. Thank you for allowing us the platform to kind of clear some of the air out. You mentioned, Dawn, that, you know, you're not being loved in, you know, on the social platforms, et cetera, which you're in a good circle because nor am I.
Oh,
that's fine, people.
I love this club
fine.
That we create. Love it.
So welcome to it. Haters gonna hate, and here's to Taylor Swift.
Haters gonna hate.
But one thing I do want to clear up, comment you made about kind of the governance of it. Absolutely.
Please.
We have two aldermanic representatives on the board, one Republican, one Democrat. I leave it at that. Paul Pernarewski used to be on the board. He is no longer on the board. He is currently the mayor. So he gave up his seat. He has not even an honorary role.
Got it.
So I just
thank you for correcting. Please.
Clarity on that.
And that's why you're here, Frank. Yeah.
And then the other part is, which is important to note, as part of the operating management agreement, I am going to stress the word management agreement. It's not a lease. It's a management agreement. The requirement is that 20% of our board has my mayoral representation in addition to the two aldermen. So in our configuration, currently, we have about 24, 25 board members. Five board members are also hand-selected by whoever is that sitting mayor to represent the city of Waterbury.
Thank
so there
you
is,
again.
There is voice, there's advocacy, and there's transparency in that case because there are those sitting around the room. The others are stakeholders of the organization, supporters, and people who care about the arts, not that the mayoral and aldermanic people don't, but they have a different mission, right?
Right.
So
who makes those selections, Frank?
The way it works, the way it was set up in the operating management agreement and our bylaws, we can provide up to double the amount of names for the mayoral appointee. So say there's five, mm-hmm. we can say, hey, these are 10 community representatives that we think would be really helpful
right.
to join the palace because they attend the theater, because they're positive advocates. For whatever reason, the mayor gets to pare that down to whoever he wants.
Okay.
To represent.
And let me just say that one point that was brought up is, you know, why aren't they Waterbury residents? Look, you know what? Do I wish everybody who was on any board ever was a Waterbury resident? Absolutely, I love my city. But guess what? There are people who don't live in Waterbury who continue to have a huge stake in Waterbury, and the palace being one of them. So cut them some slack, people.
Let's double back on the Waterbury resident thing. 22 years when I came on board, I wasn't a Waterbury resident. I am not. And let me tell you, didn't sit well. As I said, still to this day, people are like, he's not from Waterbury. No, I'm not from Waterbury. But I'm an individual who had 10 years of experience in running a performing arts center programmatically, marketing, development, etc. So I came with the skill set to do the job as
who
opposed
can
to
do?
I was born and raised in Waterbury. Which
right. Who can do the job?
Great
right.
qualification,
that's, thank
but
you.
That's not the necessary one on the resume to get the job done. So
perfect.
I will challenge
thank
that
you.
All day long.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at that, I mean, I look at it as an organization. You mentioned our pillars. And right in the nuts and bolts of our organization, we are built on three solid pillars and one huge caveat.
Mm-hmm.
So the core pillars are, number one, we have to be a center for entertainment. I promised 22 years ago that we were going to bring Broadway-style presentations to the Palace Theater. We were going to be a presenting house, not a producing house, not a community theater, because there is already a community theater. Seven Angels does an amazing job. Samina does phenomenal work. We were not to compete with her. We were to be a complement in the downtown to support that level of entertainment. So presenting versus producing is vital, important to know, because we will never be a community theater. We were never built that way physically, right? We can't accommodate that. And our goal was, and I always said this, national tours were going to come through Broadway. Never had it ever been in Waterbury before until we started. I promise that we deliver that. Entertainment, quality of entertainment is first and foremost. That's pillar number one. Education,
mm-hmm.
right? We are physically connected to the Waterbury Arts Magnet School. Everybody knows that. That was the intent of the of the building from day one. The Waterbury Arts Magnet School uses this as their high school auditorium. Dawn, I'm sure you performed in high school in some show here or there, right?
Holy Cross.
Did you ever, did your Holy Cross auditorium look and smell anything like the Palace Theater?
Right? Just stop it.
Quality of entertainment, venues, and they get to work with professional stagehands. School uses that building 30 times a year at a minimum. In addition to that, all the entertainment that we bring through also provides master classes, opportunities for the kids to get to know the artists that are performing on the national tours, the technicians that are working backstage, et cetera, et cetera. We do after-school programs. We do behind the scenes, which is actually getting really to learn what it takes technically to run a show. And then we do career days to inspire people to say, just because you're an accountant doesn't mean you cannot go into the Performing Arts Center. You can use your math skills in the theater space. Education's number two. Always been important to us, and we move that forward.
You know, Frank, education part, it was very enlightening when I heard it. Because I will tell you what, dealing with the schools for as many years as I did, a lot of the principals and the staff are frustrated because they feel they can't access it. And when they were told they can't access it unless they paid $5,000. So, you know what? I think after our conversation, and please correct me if I'm wrong, I believe those 30 days are not necessarily all just for WAMS, but if some school wanted to do it, they just had to reach out to the administrators of the school system to give them one of those 30 days. And they would be included in the money that would be paid by the city, and they wouldn't have to pay $5,000.
Correct. The WAM, Waterbury Arts Magnet School, gets priority because they do not have a performance space,
sure.
Right? Board of Ed gets to override a lot of that because they use the building for their own purposes as needed. Again, 30 days out of our calendar year, September to June for us, we are not programming in the summer. Let me repeat that. We are not programming in the summer. September to June is our calendar year. 30 days gets lopped off to accommodate in the Waterbury Arts Magnet School. I do want to make a point about the education side of it. There's always questions on the financials. Oh no, the Palace is getting $250,000 from the City of Waterbury.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely we are. It's from the Board of Education. It was baked into the document 20 plus years ago because that is the opportunity cost in order for those children and members of the Board of Education to use our building.
And right? that amount of money has never increased since
has
the time.
Has not increased in the 20 plus years that we have been doing this. Although the expenses associated with running our space and the cost human resource has.
Exponentially.
So the beauty part is for the students at WAMS, they get to put on their presentation. There's no cost to them. The police, the fire security, the professional stagehands working on their shows, all those pieces are covered by that $250,000 across the board. Any revenue that they generate by selling tickets to their own shows, we cut that check back to the school so that the school, their arts program, their drama department benefits from their show. So we don't keep the revenue, we give that back to the school. So the only direct financial support we get from the city is $250,000 from them. Does the city give us money in grants if we ask, if there's an occasion? Absolutely. If they pay for services that are above and beyond scope of work? Absolutely. That's important to know. And I know I can talk forever. We're going to soon run out of time. Economic development is huge for us. Part of the plan was drive foot traffic downtown. Over 120,000 plus people come annually downtown to the Palace Theater, whether to see one of our 70 plus stage performances, 30 plus small scale events that take place in the Poli Club, in the lobby, in the rear of the house. We have that many people come downtown. Research shows that for every admission or every person who comes downtown, they spend an extra $28 in the marketplace.
That's right.
Whether they're getting a drink at a bar, stopping at a gas station, pick up a Slim Jim for the ride home, whatever the case may be.
Whatever it is.
Whatever it is, that money goes back into the economy. Quick math, you have 120,000 people walk through the door, multiply that by 28, I don't know, it's $3 million.
Right.
Dollars,
right? Exactly. That the Palace is generating because people are coming to the theater and spending money.
Above and beyond what they pay ticket price.
That's right.
And then overall, the big overarching theme over our three pillars was this Palace Theater, baked into our operating management agreement, which was built at a different time in 2002, 2004, when the city was, bond rating was horrible, there was financial concerns.
Sure.
The ultimate goal was we were not to be a financial burden on the city of Waterbury, nor its taxpayers. Right?
Which was huge. Huge. When you told me that, I went, what? Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
This is the one that blew me away.
Right. Really?
It really did.
The taxpayers do not pay unless they voluntarily attend a show at the theater, make a donation on their own. The taxpayers of Waterbury are not paying for any of the resource or asset that is the Palace Theater. Capital improvements are burdened by, or we take on the burden of, any capital improvement in that $30 million plus space. Steve, I mentioned, and many people don't know this, for every ticket sold, $1 goes into a restricted capital improvement fund so that we can put that aside. And then in the event that we need a building improvement, we fix it ourselves. We do not go to the city. We do not go to director of finance. We don't go to Board of Education and say, hey, the roof's leaking, come help us. Right. We fix it on our own. What does that do for downtown? It saves them from having to incur any additional expense and know that the quality and integrity of that beautiful, majestic $30 million building is maintained and being kept. If this were a park and rec building, put back in the city's coffers, all of those expenses, all the maintenance would have to be incurred by the city, and knowing how many city works, a lot of those expenses would be deferred, right? Mm-hmm. You'd kick the can, you'd fix the roof later, and then you'd have a decrepit building. We've prevented that from happening and really, really proud of that. And so that's an important factor, and that we continue to, you know, work on that because the integrity of that space is vital to our success.
Absolutely.
I'm going to take a breath. Ask me a question.
Perfect. One of the big questions was, if why doesn't the Palace have more Broadway style shows? Why does it appear, you know, and I'm doing quotes, to residents that it's that the theater's dark a lot of the times?
Well, I think there's a little bit of truth to that, and that's just by the nature of the beast, right? It's interesting to know. I mean, yeah, we probably average about 70 events a year on the main stage. Little do people know, and this is a long way to get to the answer, little do people know is that for every event that we have in the building, there's also a day and a day before and or half a day afterwards that the theater has to be dark for preparation, right?
Sure.
There's called a strip and a restore. So you strip the building to prepare it for a show, you do the show, and the next day you have to restore it. Those days you cannot have activity in your building because of the fact that you're readying the building for the next event, right? So you lose some of that time. The reality is we have to be conscious of, fiscally responsible to, the fact that the market can only bear so much. We could put on a show every day of the week. Is there enough market share in the greater Waterbury area to support that level of activity, demanding that Dawn Myrano comes to the theater four times a week,
right?
Out of your pocket. It's unrealistic. Mm-hmm. So we have to, and we by design, book within a small window of time, September to June. We try to do a Broadway show once every month, 4 to 6 weeks, because that allows our subscribers and patrons who came a little bit of time to recoup any financial revenue and make choices, right? You're not always going to come to the Palace. You may go to see a show at the Bushnell. Mm-hmm. You may even choose to go to New Haven, right? So, or New York. So this gives the opportunity for us to spread it around. We compete actively against every venue across the state. This is not Waterbury's little public theater. It's not. It's never going to be. We are part of a larger ecosystem that competes actively against the casinos, against every Live Nation venue that's in our state, and the not-for-profit performing arts centers that look and smell like us all day long, not only for product, but for market share. And so that, you need to be conscious of that, because we could put on shows all day long and lose money all day long. That's not what we were hired to do. Goes back to our financial expectations.
Frank, how many, one of the big things where there's a certain number in the agreement that have to be put on.
Yeah.
So how many actual performances/shows does the Palace, or did they have last year? Or, you know, they said there should be a number, and people are saying, and again, after our conversation, it didn't seem correct.
Yeah.
So if you can clarify, they're saying there's only 30, 40 a year. Is that true?
Yeah. No, absolutely not. So the reality is that when the operating management agreement was initially made, it was prior to us even opening. We had no idea what performance expectations were going to be. We had no idea what market share and demand was going to be. The reality is, if we want to abide by the OMA, which we do, you know, it says right now, on average, we should have 100 presentations, exhibits, or events, right? It's not 100 events only on the main stage.
Right.
It's events and activities. When we look at what we have done in the last year, and I wish I have all my notes. Let's look at 21-22, because I got that one. We did about 68 large-scale events on the main stage, right? I talked about those technical days.
Sure.
Of those 68, we had to strip out 60 days were for technical purposes because before and after. So
right.
You can't count, you can't book then. WAMS used the building in 21, 22, which is on the heels of COVID coming back, or
right.
us coming back
right.
now, 27 times. Special events, we do special events such as a jazz series. We do trivia. We do a second act series. We do an I Wrote That and one more. What do we do? Playwright
right.
series as well.
Second act stuff. Yeah. Love it.
All that takes place in the Poli Club, in the lobby space, in the rear of the theater. We use all of that building, all the resources we have available to us to put on shows to accommodate whatever size audience it needs to, right? You look at all that last year, I'm sorry, in 21-22, actual number of events, presentations, or exhibits per language, it was 235.
Okay.
It wasn't 100. It was 235 of actual activity. Sometimes they happen in the same day. We can have a WAMS activity in the
sure.
building, and we may have a jazz series on going on Friday night in the Poli Club. Ask me where else, if the Palace did not have a jazz series, where can you do jazz on a Friday night? Where can you get a jazz brunch besides this Sunday at the Palace in our town?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mm,
nowhere.
So that there, you know, there's some truth to the that number.
Right.
We all agree. The city does, as well as the Palace does. The operating management agreement needs to be revisited. It was built in a 20-year window
sure.
ago that had different times, different expectations. We now know what the threshold is and what the market share is.
Sure.
I think we need to update that document. All for it.
Now, another big thing was the lease time frame. They came out, we have a 100-year lease. Now, when Dawn and I first talked about it, we were like, wait a minute. I'm sorry to say, but what moron gives out a 100-year lease?
Right.
All right? And then we said, Frank, is it true? Do you have a 100-year lease? And you literally laughed at us. Yeah.
There's good news. There was no moron that gave a 100-year
right,
lease, okay?
Right.
Good news. Rest assured.
I know where you can get this
yeah.
for $1 a square foot,
yeah.
but just
yeah.
put
yeah,
that
but,
out.
Yeah, but, you know,
anyway.
Okay. You never know.
And Steve, again, call you out. It's not a lease. It's a management agreement. We don't own the building. We manage it on the city's behalf. There is a 40-year agreement. It was a 20-year initial agreement, which we see will expire in 2024, this November.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we're going to revisit it with
sure.
two 10-year renewals. And so that was it. Not 100 years.
Okay.
And so again, lease versus management. In a lease, you usually have to give a dollar, like at least
right.
for that purpose. There's that. Do you want to say something about a lease? This document is so archaic and old that it actually has us leasing the rectory building. Hello, everyone.
Yes, talk about that.
The University
that's
of Connecticut owns the rectory building.
So that's not part of the Palace.
And it was in the original document
right.
when we thought there might be potential usage for
right.
it. But when the University of Connecticut had a better plan for it, we were not going to step in the way and say, no, we want it just in case. So that building was to be leased to us if there was a need. Need didn't exist. University came across. So if you're in your basement and you're thinking, why aren't they paying the lease for the
right.
rectory?
Right.
We don't own it. The University of Connecticut
okay.
does, if that clarifies anything.
And then pursuant to that, all right, so gas, electric, water, and sewer utilities, what's metered separately, et cetera.
Oh, God. We pay Yankee Gas, Eversource, and water directly. We pay them directly.
Right.
For any usage. Any shared usage coming from the Arts Magnet School on a quarterly basis, we show them our bills that we pay for. They show us their bills that they pay for. And on a pro rata square footage amount, we reimburse the city for anything that we incurred on our side of the building,
mm-hmm.
offset by what they incurred on the dressing room side of our building. So on a quarterly basis, that is done. Police and fire, directly paid. Parking attendants who work the parking garage on our show nights, we reimburse the city for that. Insurance, we have a $10 million policy on that because we need it for our shows that we
sure.
carry.
Mm-hmm.
And we reimburse the city for pro rata share of insurance as part of the building asset. Any questions about the financials are ludicrous, and I won't even entertain them.
Awesome. Perfect.
So it is basically self-contained, Frank, is what you're saying. So, I mean, that was one thing. When you told us about the dollar per ticket that came out to maintain, again, leaks in the bathrooms, mm-hmm. painting mm-hmm. the inside,
yeah.
electrical work, all that stuff, and it being a city building, of course, everyone assumes the city's paying that bill.
Not a penny.
And I think it's important to get the facts out there. And again, Dawn, I think this was the best thing for us was this wasn't about, hey, let's get in there and get in the middle of any kind of squabble, dispute,
because
disagreement.
I'm not.
Because that's not it. But I think the whole idea here is to let people know the fact. Now, when we sat down, and here we are, we're coming down to the 10:30 hour. Frank, if we had the magic ball for you, and we said, okay, you can look into your crystal ball. What is the one thing that would help the Palace be more successful in downtown Waterbury?
I think more critical mass in our downtown to help. You need more complimentary services to get people to come downtown, feel safe and welcome. We have done our part. We used to, last night, George Michael in the building. The show was phenomenal. 1,000+ people were downtown. The streets were teeming with people. They popped into Louis, grabbed a slice. The more services around us would get people to come more often and feel more safe, right? Okay. Absolutely. That is a huge thing. We're going to continue to do our mission. We're going to continue to present. We're going to continue to expand our programming. That goes without saying, but a little support would be grateful, just because I think you look at New York City, I said this to you, 2 o'clock in the morning, stores, and you can buy any gift shop and buy a cheap sweater on the off the street. People on the street, you feel comfortable. You don't feel
and
comfortable
safe.
When you're alone. Yeah. So.
Love it. So, love it. Love it. Is there anything else that you want to put out there for our listeners? You know, I mean, again, support it, people. Support it. I can't thank you enough for being here, but is there anything else that you really would just like to shut the door?
Well, we're never going to shut the door. I know this, right? And this is going to be my closer. I could bring back Jesus Christ himself to the theater, and people still have be skeptical.
That's right.
But instead, on April 2, 3, and 4, we have Jesus Christ Superstar coming.
I was just going to say, is Jesus Christ Superstar as hell? Yeah. I'm just curious.
203-346-2000. Call the box office. Show some support. Come see a great theater in your downtown and be proud of the venue we have. And let's not look down on one of the major assets that this community should be celebrating and be excited about, as opposed to putting it down.
Amen.
Dawn, lastly, Dawn, I will
drop
say that, you know what we were surprised about? When we broke down the theaters in the state of Connecticut, it was amazing. When we broke out the big ones, it was amazing to hear Frank say that, yes, the Bushnell, what it has there, but we fall number two in the state. So the Palace is the number two draw, is the number two place. So you know what? You have the Schubert, you have the Warner, you have different places. So you know what? Let's be proud of what we have, and let's try to help them succeed, and let's bring some stuff around it and make Waterbury better. Let's start there and grow out and fill up some
of
those.
Stop cutting things down, people. Yeah. We're all in the city to make it better. And again, if it wasn't for the Palace, downtown would be nothing.
Agreed.
So thank you so much for being here, enlightening our listeners.
Be happy to come back again, because I know that the nice part, last thing I will say, beautiful part about Waterbury is the passion that people have for the community.
Agreed.
Right? They do. They're passionate for it. They want the best for it. They may not always agree. We know this in politics, they don't agree.
That's
we know this in theater, they don't agree. Sure. They may not agree with the way we're going, but at the end of the day, the passion is appreciated. But the work that has been done over the last 20 years, it should be celebrated, and we should only see growth moving forward. So I'm happy
there
to
you
come
go.
Back whenever you need me.
Anytime. And there you go. Mic drop on Frank Tavera. Awesome.
Thank you
for being here.
My pleasure.
We're going to take a break.